ray of sunshine. Here we are. One more announcement. We're expanding our staff here at New Life Assembly. We're bringing on a young lady who's been here before. Many of you will know her, Libby Bunker. When she was here, she was a young lady, and now she's grown, 20 years old, and is getting her credentials with the assemblies. And we're bringing her on a six-month internship to help with our kids' programs. So at first, she's just going to be observing and learning and seeing where she can help bring some emphasis and some richness into our kids' programs. We've got some ideas that we're floating and some things that we'd like to try, but we'd like to do a better job of reaching our kids with educating them and blessing them in the name of the Lord. I've been very blessed, very thankful for the youth group that we were able to start over the last year or so. It's going great guns. Very proud of the leaders that we have and the kids that are coming out. That's good. We targeted that. We made it our goal. We need to have a youth group. And we don't just have a youth group. We have a wonderful youth group. Now we're targeting our kids. Every once in a while, you look around the house and something needs remodeled. Every once in a while, you look in the mirror and something needs to change. But it's just a constant thing that needs work. And now our kids' programs need some building up. And we're bringing Libby on to help us with that endeavor. So be in prayer with us. She'll be here in a couple of weeks, and we'll get started on some new endeavors with the kids. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, if you will. Joseph and Teresa Twardik migrated to our country from Czechoslovakia in the early 1900s. At the age of 41, Joseph, and at 35, Teresa became citizens of the United States. Joseph, and that was on June 29th, 1929. Joseph was a coal miner by trade, and he went to work in the coal mines of Bentleyville, Pennsylvania, just south of Pittsburgh. Teresa was quite an enterprising woman. She raised goats and geese, fruit trees, had quite a garden to her, and had her fingers in a number of other things as well. Days were not always that bright. Joseph was a heavy drinker and a gambler. It was not unusual for him to come home penniless on a paycheck day. Word was that the priest would meet him outside the bank, and they would walk together to the bar, and after rounds on Joseph, then they would gamble the rest of it away, and life was pretty rough. They had 8 kids, and trying to support them on what Teresa could come up with goats and with geese. But one day, an Assembly of God church was birthed there in Bentleyville, and Teresa began to attend. She gave her heart and life over to the Lord, and she nagged her husband until one night he finally said, "Okay, I'll go to church with you this one time." And that one time happened to be enough. As the word was being preached, the Holy Spirit gripped his heart with conviction. He wept his way into the kingdom of God. He went home and he burned all his playing cards and he poured all the booze down the sink. In fact, as time went on, he became a lay preacher in that Assembly of God church there in Bentleyville. However, at the tender age of just 51, he died of pneumonia, having come up out of the mines and caught the cool air there in the early winter part. It was Thanksgiving time, 1931. So there was Teresa, 45 years old. The year was 1931, just the beginning of the Great Depression. Not much prospect for income. Welfare really wasn't a thing at the time. And most of the kids were either grown or had succumbed to some kind of an illness. There was only one child left, a 5-year-old little girl, 5 years old when her father had passed away. And Teresa began taking in laundry, began scrubbing floors, cleaning houses, doing whatever she could to keep body and soul together. But they continued going to church. Almost every night of the week, they could be found in church. That little girl, that five-year-old little girl, was my mom, Agnes Twardick. And now today I'm an Assembly of God pastor. That's part of my origins, where I've come from. But of course, my story goes back much further than that, just as yours does. It goes all the way back to the beginning. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Father, thank You for the light. Thank You for life. Lord, we pray You light us up today. Help us to hear and to understand and to feel more closely related to our roots. You are our root, Lord God. And help us to develop and to grow and to bear good fruit because of what we learn here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before the universe, before there was a sun, moon, and stars, before there was a place called Earth, there was God. There were not particles floating around out in space. There wasn't any space. It was nothing. But there was another dimension, a place called heaven, where God dwelt, and there were creatures there, angels, seraphim, cherubim, and who knows whatever else there might have been. And it was in God's mind, in His imagination, that He created what is now and what exists. And He began to speak. And He said, "Let there be," and there was. In the beginning, the earth was formless and void, just like a blank canvas of some kind. But God began to speak. "Let there be light," and there was light. "Let the waters from above be separated from the waters below. Let dry land appear. Let there be vegetation and plants of every kind, and let them bear seeds so that they can give birth to others." And then, of course, the animals began to appear. Can you imagine having been there to witness that? The first time little bunny rabbits popped up and began to hop here and there. How marvelous that must have been. Or even the trees themselves and the grass. Can you in your mind's eye go there and watch the horizon develop as the mountains come to be and the earth is divided and there's the great Grand Canyon and there are rivers and lakes and streams and waterfalls and all the beauty and all the glory, the seraphim and the cherubim and whoever able to watch all that and ooh and ah over the creativity of our God. How marvelous and fascinating that must have been. But there at the beginning, it was God. And one personality, one person of that Godhead, the Word. And it tells us in our text that through the Word, everything was created. And without Him, nothing was created that has been made. He is Creator God. The ever-existing one. Before seraphim and cherubim, He was here. In Him was life, and that life was the light of mankind. We also learn in these verses about darkness. Why was the light necessary? Even after He said, "Let there be light," and there's a sun, moon, and stars, and people have the ability to see, there's still darkness. Still darkness. But Jesus Christ is the light of the world. He makes the difference between a person living in darkness and a person who has stepped out into the light and can see and can understand and comprehend who we are, why we're here, where we're going to, what is my purpose. Jesus is the light. So many people choose to neglect God and walk away from Him and try on their own. Remember, back, some of you my age will be able to remember, back in the 60s, back in the 70s, everybody was trying to do what? They're trying to find themselves. All they had to do was go to church. They would have understood it all. And they would have had that direction. They could have been lit up by the light of the world. So we know he created our physical bodies, but now we also know he lights up our spirits. You can have a shell with no flame inside, and he's the one that turns up the heat, if you will. He's the one that turns the lights on for everyone. And he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. You may have a lot of busyness. You may have a lot of activity going on. You may have some things you want to do, but they will not light you up like walking close to the Son of God. The next couple of verses explain a little bit more about that light. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. We know him as John the Baptist. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. So in these verses, we have covered thousands of years. We have gone since before the beginning all the way to when the light is about to appear. That zero, year zero, is when Jesus was born. That year 30 is when he began his ministry. From the beginning until year zero, much was going on. Not too long ago, we did a series in our youth group, and we had a detective lead us through. We learned about criminal investigations, and we learned about the development that God put into the world, bringing us to Jesus Christ. He said, whenever there's a crime, there's a fuse and there's a fallout. The fuse is all of the events leading up to the crime, and you can trace those out. You could say, well, the guy bought a gun, and so that's part of the fuse of putting the pieces together that helped the crime to be committed. And then after the crime, there's a fallout. All of a sudden, this guy had an extra $20,000 that he didn't have before. And so, we pointed back to it. We see it leading up. We see the effect of that. And he did a wonderful job, because this guy was an atheist when he started out. And he was going to investigate this Jesus thing and prove to his wife there's nothing to this, so stop going to church and stop giving us our money over there. And as he began to investigate it, he found out that when Jesus was born, it changed everything. That there was a very definite fuse that led up to this, and then there's a great fallout after he lived his life. It changed the whole world. For example, in the fuse, there were kingdoms that rose and fall, empires that came and went. We know that there were the Egyptians, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Greeks, and at the time Christ was born, the Romans were large and in charge. And all this time, as history was progressing, people were developing things that would make it possible for when the light shone, it could be seen all around the known world. They developed a system of reading and writing. So when the word became flesh and they wrote it down, it could be read, it could be distributed everywhere. Somewhere in there, the wheel was invented so that people could go further than they ever could before. And in all of these empires rising and falling, we have what was called the Pax Romana, the Roman peace. There was a time of peace during which this gospel could spread. Now, the peace came through the Romans conquering everybody else. There was a lot of bloodshed, but in time, there was this time of peace when the gospel could be spread. And you know, the Romans were very big on building roads. They connected cultures all over the place. So if Christ had been born any earlier, maybe not a written language, maybe not the wheel, not roads to get the gospel, but doesn't the Bible say in the fullness of time, he came? And then there is Christ being born, and what a fallout that has happened since then. So actually there have been two big bangs. You heard about the first bang, that being at creation. There wasn't anything, God spoke and bang, there it was. But then there was another bang that took place at the revelation of Jesus Christ. It brought light into that life. Angie was telling me just this morning that Dave Mickley finally got his electric on yesterday. Boy, that was a long time since the storm had come through until you got electric. You've had your electricity out, right, for a couple hours or whatever else? And maybe like me, you have said to yourself, oh, boy, the electric's off. I'll watch a little TV. Well, I can't watch TV. Maybe I'll do some. I can't turn the light on. What do people do when they don't have electric? So we had a world. We had all these things, but we weren't lit up. Didn't seem to make any sense. There wasn't really a purpose. So what? We have another empire going on and such. What does it all really mean? And then Jesus came. And just before his ministry started, this John the Baptist came on the scene. Oh, excuse me. He so divided history. He made such a difference in all the world that we have divided history into two parts. Before Christ and after Christ. And you can just, any historian can tell you. They can be an atheist, but they cannot deny the one defining factor of all history was the birth of Jesus Christ and his life and ministry here on earth. It changed absolutely everything. In fact, since he came, everything has progressed at rocket speed. We've gone from the wheel to the cordless drill. It's just marvelous, all the things we have gone from horse and buggy to a man walking on the moon. It is just amazing. The fallout, the inspiration, the light that hit society and allowed civilization to mushroom and grow. There is historical proof that he is God, as well as so much other that we could talk about this morning. But John the Baptist came, and he pointed. He got his ministry flowing. Why was his ministry so popular? He never did a miracle. He dressed in camel hair. He ate locusts. The other day, I'd made some extra soup, and I dropped it off at the kids' house while I was on my way to the office. So I handed it to Parker, my grandson, and I said, it's chicken and potato. Chicken and cicada, he said. No, not cicada, potato. I can only imagine if he delivered it with the wrong message there. Hey, Mom, chicken and cicada. Hey, well, okay. But John the Baptist whetted their appetite for what was coming. He didn't do any miracles. He was nothing flashy. He was just some guy. If you read the couple of excerpts from sermons that he had, you're kind of thinking, how did that guy draw a crowd? You snakes and vipers, go back and insulting people, that was in, I guess, whatever. But it was the power of the Holy Spirit. See, the world was so dark, they couldn't wait to get some light. And he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Amazing things are about to happen in our generation, but you got to get ready. And you're not going to be ready if you're all in your sin and such. And they were all tired of their stinking sin anyway. So they lined up, they got baptized, and they got ready to see. They got ready for this light that was coming. And John said, it's Jesus. And that's why when Jesus came, his ministry just mushroomed and took off, because people were hungry and were expecting him. And John had helped prepare the way for him to come. And these next verses tell us a little bit more about that light. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus, the Word of God, became flesh and dwelt among us. Isn't that cool? God dressed up like one of us just to be with us for a while. And he did that to show us what God was really like, because we really got the messaging messed up there for a while. And he did it also to experience what we experience. You ever kind of think in your mind, well, God, yeah, that's easy for you to say because you're up there in heaven and everything's great. But live down here for a little while. Well, he did. Under much rougher circumstances than you and I have been exposed to. And he overcame them all. But God became one of us. Just that's just like the sweetest thing you'd ever want to hear. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world didn't recognize him. He came, but no, everybody said, ah, no, yeah, no, you're a carpenter's son. We know where you're from. You're not God. No, you can't fool us. We're not going to fall for that. We've had other jokers come through here, think they're something special, but woo, this is a doozy. You're God, and you know they just sadly didn't believe him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Not today, pal. We're not buying that stuff. That's not going to fly around here. It's kind of like having your own dog bite you. Or your kids, you know, rebel and just hate you, even though you love them and you're trying to pour out on them. God did a wonderful thing. He became flesh and he dwelt among us, but people just by and large just reject him. But there were a few who got it. They looked into his eyes. They listened to what he had to say. They saw him do things that no human being had ever been able to do. And they said, wow, you really are God, aren't you? And look at the wording here. Yet to all who did receive him, then it defines that for us. To those who believed in his name. That's how you receive him. You believe in his name. He gave the right to become the children of God. To those people, Jesus gives the right to be called the very children of God. And he lights them up. He makes us like him when he comes into us. We have a different glow. We have a different wattage when God takes over in our life. We dwelt in darkness, but when we put our faith in Jesus, he lights us up. We're different from who we used to be. And you see, that's one of the marks to show that you are a child of God. You're different from who you used to be. In fact, even as you are a child of God, you mature. I was talking to somebody just the other day about this whole thing of, you know, when kids write on the wall with crayons. When we did it as children, we got punished pretty severely. Well, not, you know. When my kids did it on grandma's wall, they put a frame around it. They had them sign it. You know, my kids came in from playing in the creek and put their muddy hand on the wall. My mom thought, that's great. Had them dip it in paint and do it again. And then every time they would visit, you know, they'd put another handprint, another hand, and you see the hands, you know, getting bigger and so on and so forth. Children grow. They mature. They get bigger and better. If you're a child of God, that's going to happen to you too. You'll be able to mark your progress. Well, I remember I used to get so upset over these things. Now I don't get so upset about those things anymore. And I remember I used to be a terrible witness, but now I've kind of got my stride. I know how to lead somebody to Christ, and on it goes. And I've learned how to pray so much better than I used to, and it grows. That's proof that you are a child of God. You're a child, and you're growing in God and becoming ever more like him. And it all begins by confessing that Jesus is the Son of God. He is who he said he was. He came to his own didn't receive him, but we recognize him. Yeah, you are. You were. You rock, man. You're it. You're the one. We see it. We know it, and we receive that. We own it for ourselves. And not only does our life change dramatically, we become like a lighthouse for other people. We shine the beam on, this is a righteous life. This is how we're supposed to be living. Some people don't want you around anymore because you're too lit up. And they don't want you shining your light on their darkness. They want to keep doing their dark things. But it happens. And you're there and they start cursing a little bit less than they used to because the lights are on. And they they don't brag about the things they used to brag about. And then they start taking you aside and confessing to you, like, you know, whoa, what's going on here? They're attracted to the light like a bug until they get lit up too. And then they go from being a mosquito to being a lightning bug, and they shine their light wherever they go. And then in verse 17, it says, Jesus came full of grace and truth. When you meet Jesus, you find grace and you find truth. Grace forgives our sins, and it empowers us to live as the children of God. The rest of the world can try to be nice. They can try to be moral. They can try to be godly, but they'll fail every time. But with the grace of God in us, we succeed every time. Oh, we may stumble along the way, but we get there. We do become the children of God, and truth guides our every step. He gave us a guidebook. So, you know how we men are anyway. Every time you buy something, you have to put it together, they give you an instruction manual. And if you're like me, you set it aside until you get stuck. And then you open it up and find out, you know, where did I go wrong here or whatever else. Well, God's book works the same way. We really should study it before we get stuck. But if we do get stuck, we say, okay, well, gee, I got an enemy. What should I do? Knock him on the back of the head or punch him right in the face? Well, no, it says here, if my enemy's hungry, I should feed him? I'm not sure. But that's what it says. He gave me truth. As I do what he tells me to do, I tap into his power and his grace, and it works out. And I say, whoa, this guy knows what he's talking about. What else does he have to say? And what else can I apply? Oh, the wife and I, we're not getting along so good, and she doesn't make me happy anymore. What an old nag. How do I get rid of her? No, it says here, I'm not allowed to think like that. It says here, husbands, love your wives, period. Okay, I got to go love my wife. Well, all right, she's irritated me, but I'm going to love her. It works out, and the marriage flourishes, you see. Truth, he gave me grace, he forgave me, he empowered me, and now he gives me a guide that I can follow. And a child of God follows their father's advice. They learn, they grow. Anybody have any kids and you discovered they need some instruction? They don't naturally know exactly the right thing to do? Yesterday, I don't know if you caught it, if you were here at the car show, it was kind of cute. You know Benji, Jim and Darla's grandson? He's about this tall. He weighs 21 pounds. He's 3 years old, had a lot of trauma, birth and everything else, surgeries. And he's a running miracle. I'd say he's a walking miracle, but I've never seen him walk. He's a running miracle. And he just everywhere. Well, I was over on the playground with my grandkids, and here comes Benji. He just takes a shortcut right across the RC track. And after a little delay, here come Darla right after him, climbing over the hay bales and doing her best, but she can't keep up with Benji. She's yelling his name, Benji, you can't go through here, you know. And finally, it was really cute. It was really funny, except if you were Darla. And other than that, it was really great. But she's going to teach him. We don't run across racetracks. We don't, you know, they need instruction, and we are children of God. And we need instruction. I still need instruction at my ripe old age. And we appreciate that instruction. I was talking to Ed Foth before the service, before the first service, and he said his dad dropped over dead at 56 years old. And he says, you know, I feel like I never really got to know my dad. He was kind of a quiet guy, and he said, I was too young to be asking his advice. I didn't care about what dad thought at that time. Then when I was old enough to want a dad's advice, I didn't have a dad anymore. And that's a really sad story. But our father is still active and viable, and we can keep going back to him to learn and to grow. He's full of grace and truth. Verse 15, John testified concerning him. He cried out saying, this is the one I spoke about when I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So John the Baptist set them all up. The light is coming, the light. Hey, light, light right here. His name is Jesus, and he's the one we need to follow. He's full of grace and truth. And everybody was excited because John had done such a good job of setting it up. The law was given through Moses. Now, what was the job of the law? The law was the fuse that got us excited about the light coming. How did it do that? Well, first of all, the law taught us the difference between right and wrong. This is right, and that's wrong. And so, okay, cool. Now we know that difference. And then the law instructed us as to the penalty for violating right. The wages of sin is death. Oh, man, I don't want to die. I don't want to fail this test. Well, where's the bar at? How many violations do I have to have before I have to pay that penalty of death? Well, any violation at all. In fact, the Old Testament, that whole fuse, that thousands and thousands of years of people living and trying to obey the law and so on and so forth, guess how many of them were able to do it? There is none righteous, no, not one. Now, wait a second. We've got the law. There's none righteous, no, not one. And the wages of sin is death. Ah! Light is coming. Light is coming. Grace and truth. Not just truth, but grace. He'll forgive our sins. And he'll empower us to do what we never could do before, follow what is right and neglect what is wrong. And even if we stumble, he's able to pick us up and keep us going. Wow, what a wonderful light, amen? What a great revelation from heaven that the Lord is. The law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. But remember what the Bible said here. It said, for as many as received him. It's not just that he came into the world, we're all safe. No. For as many as received him, those are the ones that are the children of God. Have you received him? Not just sat back and acquiesced, said, hey, that's a great plan. Yay, God, he saved us all. Let's go back to partying now. No, no, no. Those aren't the children of God. That's not the heart that God puts into you. If you're still comfortable with all that sin, then you're not a child of God. You're still walking in darkness. You don't even like the light. You don't even want it turned on. You've got to receive him. You've got to welcome him in. He's got to become a part of your life. You know, a lifeboat does you no good unless you get in it. Medicine can't help you unless you swallow it. Having it in the cabinet isn't going to do you any good at all. You could be swimming and you see the fin coming, do, 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 do. Well, that's all right. If it gets too close, I'm going to jump in that lifeboat over there. Good luck with that one. You see the fin? How many would already want to be in the lifeboat? And there are a lot of folk who, they kind of keep Jesus around. They keep the gospel handy. They're going to grab it just before they die. Doc, tell me when I have 35 minutes left. And I'm going to, no, no. You have to receive him. You have to swallow the medicine. You have to take the cure. You have to walk through that door. Don't just admire it. A rope can only keep you from falling if you hold tight to it. I want to hold tight to Jesus Christ. I want him, my Lord, and say, I don't just want a ticket to heaven. I want a life now. And he's the one that can give it to me. He's the one that lights it up and helps it to make sense. It takes a conscious decision on our part to receive this light, to put our faith in him. Have you made that decision? Stop admiring him. Stop saying, well, that's really nice. And stop assuming. And get on your face before God and say, Lord, I want to be lit up. I'm tired of the darkness. I'm tired of the hypocrisy. I'm tired of treading water. I want to be part of the kingdom of God. Tell God you want lit up. You want to live in the reality of Jesus Christ. The best moments of my life are all Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You see, when you have a child, when they're your child, they resemble you. They take on traits that you have. Have you ever said to somebody, that's got to be your kid? Oh, that's got to be your kid. They look just like you. Or they look just like you did when you were little. Well, we've got pictures of my daughter Kayla and her daughter Adeline. And it's just like, you'd be hard-pressed to tell which was which. They just are kind of interchangeable. It's one of the joys and sorrows of having offspring. Oh, they're just like me. Oh, they're just like me. But when you become a child of God, it shows. Your language changes. Your desires change. The way you walk changes. The things you care about. And if none of that is happening in your life, I'm sorry to say to you, you're not a child of God. You need a conversion. You need a God thing to happen in your life. And he is still in it. He came to light us up. It's his joy to do so. All of heaven lights up and rejoices whenever there's a soul saved. What are you waiting for? If you have not yet grabbed that rope, if you've not yet walked through that door, if you've not yet jumped in that boat, now is the time to follow hard after the Lord. You were obviously born physically because you got a body. But have you been born again? Have the lights been turned on inside? Are you following after the Lord? Are you born of the Spirit of God? Would you stand with me this morning? Amazing grace. anchor mine. Amen. So you told your son, don't be messing around in my tool room. You hear a great crash. You go down and he knocked a pile of boards down on his leg and he's trapped. What are you going to do? Well, good for you. I told you not to be down here. I'll be upstairs when you finally work your way free. No. You're going to get that lumber off of him and make sure he's okay. And if there's something broken, you're going to take care of it. That's our Father. We're lost when he finds us. Sadly, some of us get lost along the way. But didn't he say that if a sheep gets lost, he leaves the other 99 and he goes and finds that one and he brings it back? What a wonderful Father. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes with me just for a moment. I don't know if maybe there's anybody here. You've never walked through that door. You never got in that boat. You never clung to that rope. But today you want to. You want to receive the Lord just by confessing that he is. Or maybe you got lost along the way somewhere and you just want to get back. But if that's you in either case, just slip up a hand. And preacher, would you remember me in your closing prayer today? Thank you. Anybody else? Please include me in that too. Any others? Would you pray this prayer after me for any who may not have been brave enough to raise their hand, but including that as well? Let's just trust Jesus to do something special today. Pray this prayer after me. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Jesus, thank you for coming and dying on the cross just for me. Please forgive me of all my sin. Come into my heart. Be my Savior and my Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Father, we're asking you to light up anybody who's been in darkness. And for all of us to trim our wick and to fill our oil, that we can shine a little brighter than we have. We really do want to be the people of God, the children of God. We really want it to show on the outside and help others to find their way. So, Lord, whatever might have gotten in our way, help us to overcome it and be more and more and more and more the people of God. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen.